Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. Today's guest is Iowa football wide receiver and return man Charlie Jones. How's everything going with you today?
Everything's been great, man. Just a couple more days before we get back into it.
Love it. So we'll definitely be firing off some questions going to this season and camp and all that stuff. But I want to bring it back to high school to start the interview, which is I heard you played a lot of slot in high school, but I also have heard you were a pretty good cornerback. So I wanted to ask you, like, going into college football, why did you want to focus on being a wide receiver over being on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, back in high school, we ran the triple option, so it was kind of tough to be a receiver. So slot was more like typically like a running back in that offense. And then, yeah, like you said, I played a lot of corner. Actually, my sophomore year, I pretty much just played corner. But offense was always, you know, where I felt most comfortable. It was just harder to get recruited as a receiver just because we threw the ball so little out there. But, yeah, I knew, like, moving forward for college, like, defense is fun, but, you know, I'm not really a defensive player. And, you know, I just feel more comfortable as a receiver. I think it's more fun personally. But, yeah, it was just tough. So, like, playing corner kind of gave me that ability to get recruited a little bit more.
So how much – I mean, just be honest. Like, how much did you hate running the triple option offense by the time you were a senior in high school?
It had its pros and cons. I mean, it was – like I said, if I played quarterback, it would have been like the greatest offense ever, but like for like a running quarterback, you know?
Right.
But like, yeah, as a receiver, I mean, geez, it was tough. Like it was frustrating at times, but like, you know, when we did throw the ball, it was like wide open. So it was like, you're basically going to score like every time you throw the ball, really.
Like how many, you get like how many, like 10 passing plays a game, maybe at most?
I mean, yeah, like, I think my junior year I had, like, 10 receptions on the year. and, like, my senior, it was, like, 20. So, like, yeah, like, not – for me, like, not many. But, I mean, you touch the ball as, like, a running back, like, a bunch.
Right, yeah, you're just a grunt. You're just the dive back, getting the first option, getting smoked instead of running around and catching a pass. I mean,
getting like smoked. Said, yeah.
Pros and cons, yeah.
So going into recruiting and stuff like that, can you tell us a little bit about how you ended up at Buffalo originally and what that recruiting process was like for you and how you made your decision to go there?
Yes, so basically after my junior season is when – recruiting started to pick up a little bit, and I was getting like schools like Buffalo, like Boston, like kind of MAC schools. I got North Dakota State, and a couple others like that. And I was kind of just waiting. I was like, you know what, I got my senior season coming up. You know, hopefully I get a Power Five or something like that. So I was just kind of pushing the process. And then after my senior season, I wasn't getting anything. You know, which was a little bit frustrating. So I couldn't decide. You know, I just kept pushing it back and schools were basically filling up spots, taking other guys at receiver. It really came to Buffalo and North State. And this was like the day before signing day. And I was like, man, like, I have no idea what I want to do. So I figured, you know, Buffalo, like, you know, they're in the MAC. You know, it is a good conference. At the time, they weren't doing that well. And I was like, you know what, I want to be a part of a team that's going to, you know, turn around. So I went with them. And, you know, my second year there, we're in the MAC championship. So, you know, the program really kind of turned around. And after that, they've had some good success. But, yeah, it was interesting. It was confusing. It was frustrating. It was a tough, you know, couple months.
So when you were in that process of picking, did you kind of know you had the capabilities of playing at the Power Five level? Like, did you kind of believe in yourself then that, like, you didn't see yourself as a MAC player for, like, was that kind of where you were at? And then it was kind of like the offers that were there, you kind of took the best offer available.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not hating on the MAC at all. I mean, the MAC has, you know, unbelievable competition every week. But, you know, I always thought, you know, I've always believed in, you know, what I can do. And, you know, I believe that I can play with the best of the best. So that was a little bit frustrating that, you know, other people didn't see it that way. But I knew, you know, just that was out of my control at that time. And what I could do is just pick the best place for me. Where I could grow the most, get the most exposure, and just, you know, come in and work hard, and, you know, whatever happens, happens.
So then going into after that season, after you're in the MAC championship, you kind of achieved your goal of being in a program that turned around. What led to you wanting to transferring, and what was the transfer process like, and what led to you walking on at Iowa?
That whole transfer process was tough, dude. Towards the end of my season, I was kind of feeling, you know, like I want to, you know, I've made a couple plays. I've kind of, you know, been able to put a little bit of a tape together to maybe go get a Power 5 school like Iowa. And when the time came after the MAC championship, I went in for an MRI on my shoulder, and I ended up having a torn labrum. So I got surgery that January. And then that's right around when I entered the transfer portal. And I entered pretty late, which is always tough because, you know, scholarships at that point aren't really available. And I was coming off of surgery. So, you know, I wasn't too appealing to programs in the Power 5. Basically. So yeah, it was tough, dude. Like I went in the portal with like no idea what I was doing. Just like kind of, you know, I believe in myself. Like I know like what I'm capable of doing, like my work ethic, and just kind of hoping someone would take a chance on me. And I, you know, I emailed like the whole, like damn near the whole country, dude, like trying to just get a spot.
How many responses did you get? If you email the whole country, it had to have been like cold email. Like that's tough. And then you were probably getting cold shouldered a lot just because that's of it.
Yeah. And like a lot of it, like a lot of the websites, like you go on and it's kind of just like one email for everyone, which is tough. So like, I'm not even like half of those probably didn't even get read. You know, so, I mean, it wasn't a whole kind. I mean, like,
right.
I emailed like a ton, but like, you know, I did what I could.
So I wanted to ask, I was just going to ask, like, at what age did you start returning, whether it was kick, punts, whatever, and what inspired you or what like drew you to wanting to be a returner?
I started returning. I think my first year was my freshman year of high school. I was doing both kick and punt. And then, you know, I did that all throughout high school. And then when I got to Buffalo, I was just a kick returner. So last season at Iowa was my first year punt returning. You know, that's always been something like, you know, interesting to me. You know, it's such an electric, like playing football, like, you know, it's definitely tough. Like punt return is like, you know, it's just you back there. And, you know, it is a little bit stressful, but, you know, like, you know, I love that kind of like situation where like pressure's on. And plus, like, you know, you make a big play, like it really changes the game. So, you know, it's always been something that I'm super interested in. Hopefully this year I'll be able to do both kick and punt returns.
Yeah. I mean, being a Bears fan, last season just comes to mind, and they had absolutely negative of a punt return game. And you could tell that the offense just did not have the best field position at times. And punt returns are the most electric play in sports because it is you against the entire wall of people coming down to cover you. You make one guy, even just one guy miss, you can get 10, 15 yards. That helps field position so much. But there's plenty of times where you get a high boot and they're just like, look, we don't want this kid to return it. What's the weirdest thing someone has said to you while you're waiting for the ball to come in on a fair catch?
Oh, man. That's actually a great question. honestly, like, I wouldn't even know, just because, like, there's like it, everything happens so fast. It's almost like you kind of just like black out for a quick second, like where you're just so focused on just like, especially like if it's a pooch situation where like you're near the end zone and you're just under there just trying to catch that ball, like just to catch it and not get any yards, like just fair catch. The adrenaline kind of just takes over, and I really just have no idea what anyone's saying. People are always saying stuff though, like they come past you, they like tap you on the hip or whatever, and they're talking, and you're just kind of like, you know what, like I can't even hear you, like I'm not even listening.
So going a little deeper, like you originally started with like kick returning at Buffalo, like you said, and then you've now progressed into punt returning and you want to do both. Kind of talk about the differences and how your mentality goes into like a kick return or a punt return. And obviously with the kick return, you have 10 guys, 9 guys in front of you blocking, right, obviously, but with punt, you're just hoping for a lane or somewhere. So like what goes into your mind before each of those, and how does that play out?
Yeah. So kick return is totally different. I mean, you catch the ball, you got all your guys in front of you, you know, I mean, everyone's running full speed, which is, you know, kind of tough, but you know, you know, you got guys like right in front of you, and you're going to get like 15 yards, like without anyone touching you. So that's a whole different game. Like, you know, that one, it once you get to those guys, like the whole, like, and like happens so fast where you're like, you got it, you're either in there or like you're getting smacked. So that is a really like, it's totally different from punt return. You go back there and like, for me, like for both kick and punt return, I go back there and I'm like, you know what, like I'm going to score like every time this ball is punted. Like, and that's kind of my mentality. You know, I don't really like to fair catch, you know, obviously if it's a situation where, you know, we need just the ball, like, then you know, I'm for the fair catch, or someone's right in my face, I'm gonna fair catch it. But other than that, you know, I'm going into it like, you know what, this kid's running full speed at me. It's typically just one kid like in your face. He's got no idea where I'm gonna go. I can go left, I can go right, he doesn't know if, you know, if I'm gonna fair catch it. So I just go out there and I'm like, you know what, like I'm gonna push this as far as I possibly can. And you know, if I see like a split second, I'm gonna catch it, I'm gonna try to make a move. And then after that, you know, it's just, you know, get what you can get. Because once you make the first guy or two miss, you know, it's pretty much open.
So in moments like that, like when you've scored a touchdown in a game before on a return, what's going through your head once you kind of make the first one or two guys miss? Is it more like, I just got to keep going, like I got to juke this guy, shake this guy off or whatever? Or is it just like you kind of black out and you're just running to the end zone?
At that point, it's like kind of instinct just takes over. Like, you know, obviously you're trying to, you know, read it, but you know, everything is just happening so fast. Like there's just so many guys in such a small area where it's like, dude, like your instincts just like kind of just take over and you start kind of just making moves. But like once you get past that second level and you're kind of on like the bigger guys, like, you know, the personal protectors, then it's like, you know, it's game on. Like I get past this next guy, like I'm taking it back. So it is such an electric play, bro, and it really does get everyone going. Like just such a spark in a game.
So this year with fans coming back to Kinnick, if you score a touchdown at Kinnick this year, which will hopefully happen, do you have any touchdown celebrations in mind with teammates, or in your head have you been planning anything, or any ideas there?
You know, I'm not a big celebration guy. You know, I'll celebrate with my teammates, and it's kind of, you know, in that atmosphere, especially like, you know, I still haven't played in front of a crowd like Kinnick yet. I think the most I've played in front of is like 25,000. So like, I'm nowhere near that atmosphere yet, and I'm really excited to be out there this year. But you know, it kind of just like emotions kind of take over, like. You always kind of go in and you're like, all right, you know, I want to do this, you know, whatever. Like you kind of got a little plan going, but then once you score, like, it's just like, everything's out the window and you're kind of just like in the moment, you know, whatever happens. You know, I'm positive I won't be doing any TikTok dances or anything crazy like that, but
you know, is there a wide receiver in the receiving room who has been talking about doing any TikTok dances next year or has anything planned in the future?
We got a couple guys that are big on TikTok. No, I don't know. We all got kind of got handshakes and stuff, but you know, we don't have any choreographed TikTok dances for the season. So you know, we'll see. I think hopefully we're in the end zone, get that opportunity a bunch, but you know, I don't know what the celebrations are gonna look like.
If you can say who out of the wide receiving room, who would be the TikTok dancer in the end zone if you had to pick
one?
Oh,
man. I don't know if I can expose my boy like that, dude. I feel like you kind of got a feel of who it might be. But I don't know if I could put him on the spot like that.
So one thing I kind of just want to go back to with punt returning. So a lot of positions kind of like worry about, oh, I don't want this to happen on film. Like a tackle doesn't want to get beat wide or something. With you in punt returning, let's say you break past that second level and you're at the personal protectors. There's also the punter. Does it ever, for a slight second, you're like, dude, I don't want this guy to tackle me. Of all the people, like, I don't want I don't want this to be on film.
I mean, yeah, that would, you know, it'd be tough to have one guy left and end up getting tackled. Usually if you got the punter left, you still have a little bit of room.
We lose him.
Yeah, MediaCom, Jack. MediaCom.
Motherfucking MediaCom. I would tweet at them, but I'm already black. Sam, your turn.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I got the...
Yeah, no, I thought the city's blocked.
Yeah, the city. Well... I was thinking of
Jack going around saying that he's blocked, trying to build the hype around.
Well, him. I did get blocked. All right, fair.
We got blocked. Oh, we lost Charlie, guys.
Charlie just didn't want to be here. I'm just kidding. He just took it to the house. I don't know. Damn, that stinks.
We'll bring him back.
Well, there is one punter I know of off the top of my head, but he's not there anymore. He's the Penn State guy, but he got chirped out of football because he was a bigger boy and he had like an eating disorder. I swear to God, it was really a sad story, but like,
that's tough.
Yeah. That guy laid some licks. I think he could have got some pro looks just cause he had like a Sebastian Janikowski build, maybe a little pudgier, but definitely had a boot.
Yeah. I think you can make a good punter. I think
me
you have the build. Yeah.
No, I don't have the leg. I don't have the flexibility to get the leg up high. I'd be a really good long snapper.
I heard you do a lot of like Pilates and yoga. I heard like that's what.
No, that's not me. That's Noah Flake-Fenske. But no, I would make a great long snapper. And I think
hey, don't underestimate the long snapper.
I'm not.
I know some long snappers.
I do too. Maybe. I was roommates with the fastest long snapper in the nation.
Yeah. I know an All-American long snapper.
Well, mine was faster.
And hey, we had our boy Patrick Manley on the pod. Like, long snapping's a serious game.
I get it. And I'm saying,
don't underestimate the skill set.
If I had put my mind to long snapping from a young age, I could be somewhere right now long snapping. I'd be great for that. I honestly think I'd be a great long snapper. I think I would be great. They're like glue guys.
So I think what you should do is train all summer to long snap and walk on.
I think I'd be pretty good. Like, swear to God, I think if you gave me maybe a month or two, I could have a decent looking punt snap. 100%.
Okay. Well, now we got Charlie back.
Yeah. My phone did the temperature thing. It got too hot outside.
Dude, where did that happen to me? Oh my God.
It's the worst.
I think, Sam, it was when we were at the baseball game. I think my phone just because we were like directly in the sun or something. Oh. I don't know what happened, but yeah, I think that was the last time it happened. Dude, that's the worst.
Oh, actually, dude, and it always happens at the worst time, too.
I literally, when I was younger, I put my, I put my iPod Touch into the freezer because it said that. And I was like, this is the only way I can fix it. I put it in there for like 20 seconds. Swear to God. Didn't work.
That's hilarious.
Was not a fix.
But what I wouldn't recommend that.
What I asked before you disconnected, no problem, was are there any punters in the Big Ten, like off the top of your head from any school, you don't have to know the name, I don't expect you to, but that you know, like you've seen on film, are generous with the way they throw their body around on a punt or a kick?
Oof. Honestly, like, not that I've seen really. Just, you know, this is my first season doing it. And I haven't seen anyone really kind of get to that point where they had to like make that tackle, at least not last year. So I'm still kind of new to it. So no, I not off the top of my head would I know of anyone that, you know, is really taking people out.
Well, then a quick follow-up to that is hypothetical, you get past second level in practice, is Torrey Taylor allowed to level you if it gets to that point?
No, Torrey is not allowed to hit me.
That's, usually I don't get that. Like how is Torrey supposed to get better?
You would think that you know, maybe it'd be some good practice, but no. We have never been in that situation where Torrey has had to take me out. Torrey's my roommate. I don't know if I don't know if he'd be laying me out.
What's it like for you to practice and train with a guy who's, you know, one of the best punters in college football and getting to receive punts from him all the time? You know, I went to the spring practice with our friend Tommy Blasberg. Shout out Tommy. Yeah. But, you know, it was cool just seeing you guys, you know, practice and everything. But what's it like training with a guy like that where you get to practice with a legit guy every day?
Yeah, dude. You know, especially Torrey being one of my really close friends and my roommate, it gives me just that advantage. Like all summer, like I just get to catch a punt from Torrey. Like we just get to work on it. Like it's great practice for him. It's great practice for me. And like being in practice, you know, just him giving me like punts that I typically won't see in the game. Just because like this kid is, he's really unbelievable. And, you know, it was his first year playing American football and he's doing just so well. You know, so like that kind of practice, like it just makes me so much better. You know, it makes the whole, you know, Torrey's whole punt team better. And, you know, the whole punt return unit so much better, just getting that kind of exposure every day at practice. But yeah, it's definitely a big edge for us.
How many times while you've been living with Torrey or just at practice with Torrey or just even at a game with Torrey, has he asked you on the side just a random question about the game of football? Because you've said 1 year of American football, and he doesn't like he punts, so he's not like on offense or defense. He doesn't necessarily have to like sit there and learn a ton about those sides of the game. Like, does he ever come up to you with those types of questions, or is he just try to keep that to himself and then maybe ask you or a coach later on?
No, he's pretty open about that. I wouldn't say, you know, I don't – game days, I don't really spend a lot of time with him just because, you know, I'll be more with the receivers. So I don't really get to hear that part of it. But, you know, he's – like I said, this is his first year. He's definitely learning a lot. And he's pretty open about, you know, things that he doesn't know. He's, you know, other positions he's always trying to learn, you know, like, what, you know, what is this? You know, what does that do? And, you know, he's kind of just being a student of the game. Just being a student of the game.
I wanted to know, what was it like for you to go from a walk-on player to earning a scholarship earlier this year? Yeah. What did that mean for you?
You know, obviously coming in as a walk-on, especially after coming, you know, at Buffalo, I was on scholarship. And, you know, I knew the situation. It was late. And, you know, like I said earlier, I was coming off surgery. So I knew that scholarship wasn't really going to be on the table. But, you know, like I said earlier, like I believe in myself, you know, 100%. I believe in what I can do. So, you know, I knew walking on, you know, wasn't preferred to be that way, but if that's the only opportunity I had, then, you know, I'm gonna do it. And so my mentality coming in was just, you know what, I'm gonna outwork everybody. You know, I'm gonna work hard every single day, put in the extra time. And the ultimate goal was never to get a scholarship. That was just, you know, a goal along the way. You know, house my parents out financially. Yeah, but you know, I have higher goals than that. So just because, you know, I did end up getting the scholarship, you know, doesn't mean, you know, the work's done, or mm-hmm. you know, I still have more that I want to accomplish. And higher goals above that. But you know, getting a scholarship was nice. To be recognized for, you know, hard work and, you know, just doing everything every day that I possibly can.
Yeah. What are some of your overarching goals for your career at Iowa that's going to continue? And what are your careers for this season as you train this off season?
You know, obviously, you know, we play as well as we possibly can as a team. We want to win the Big Ten championship. We want to, you know, be a part of the playoffs. You know, we got a lot of team goals, a lot of guys coming back. Mm-hmm. you know, we feel really good about our team this year. So as a group, we got high standards. We work hard, you know, so we have a lot of goals. You know, personally, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I got all these things that I, you know, all these awards, you know, that just comes with hard work, and that's part of being a team player. Obviously I want to play at the next level, and, you know, just that, like I said, that comes with, you know, being a team player, working hard with the team, you know, just coming in every day with that mindset. You know, I'm going to leave it all out here for the day. So, you know, I'm ready for tomorrow. But yeah, you know, I have high standards for myself and for the team, and, you know, we all hold each other to that high standard.
Yeah, definitely. And I know you have a pretty strong work ethic. So what's kind of your training routine this summer, or, you know, even during the season? What does, like, if you're on a diet, what does that look like? Like, what's kind of your regimen right now?
Yeah, you know, I like to stay on a pretty strict routine. Like, summer is like the best time of the year. I mean, outside of the season, but like for like training purposes, like, you got no classes. It's really just like a full time job. Like, this is all you're doing, like, for the next couple months. Like, so, you know, we're all really excited to get back and get back into workouts. And, you know, we work out in the morning, and then, you know, you do whatever, you know, and then you come back and you run routes, or you catch punts, and you do extra stuff. And it's kind of, it's fun. Like, you know, to someone else, it might sound like kind of boring, or, you know, but like, this is what we're here for. Like, spending all day, like, at the building is something that we really enjoy. And I think that's special about our team this year. Like, you know, no one's like trying to get out of the building. Like, you know, everyone wants to be there as much as possible so they can get in as much work as they possibly can. So yeah, like, the summer, bro, like, and like eating, like, we they feed us so well over at the facility. Like, you don't got to worry about anything. We got, you know, everything that we need. And, you know, I like to stay pretty healthy. You know, I don't eat any junk food. So, and, you know, and they're so good with, you know, all our diets and our weights and everything. It's just, it makes it so easy. So yeah, we're all excited to get back and have this time away from, you know, classes, just to kind of focus on football.
For sure. With you, I mean, with you being a guy who plays different roles and wears different hats on the team, do you focus more on, like, catching, or do you like, what's kind of the thing you're working on right now? Footwork, is it speed? Like, what's kind of the areas that you're looking to, like, really focus on and really see strides and improvement throughout the summer?
Yeah, it's, you know, it is kind of tough to try to decide what I want to work on each day, just because, you know, I do want to develop so many areas of my game. But, you know, like I said, we got so much time. So, like, for me especially, like, I want to work on, you know, my route running. You know, I haven't really played a ton of offense in the past couple of years. Last year I got on the field a couple of times. The year before that, I had to sit out. And really, the last time I was really out there in a game was when I was at Buffalo. Obviously I'm practicing, but, you know, I want to make sure, you know, I've improved in every aspect that I possibly can. And, you know, I'm ready to go. So I think route running for me is a big emphasis, you know, timing, you know, making those big plays. And we have plenty of time to work on that all summer. And then, like I said, with Tori, like me and Tori can go out, you know, whenever we want. And, you know, I can work on like being put in a situation where I got to go run down a ball, like, or like come up on it. And, you know, just having, you know, Tori, as my roommate and, you know, one of my good friends and teammates, like it's going to help so much.
Yeah. Do you and your teammates or the special teams unit or wide receivers unit, like in practice or when you guys go out on your own, do you guys ever play games or like create your own types of competitions with each other? Like, are there any games or things you guys do to, you know, make it a little bit more competitive sometimes when you need that little extra boost when you guys are out there?
I think, the guys that we have in our room are just, you know, so like our room itself is like so goal oriented. Like we got guys that, you know, every day they want to compete, and we have a really competitive receiver room. So we don't really have any games per se, but we hold each other to such a high standard that like that within itself is almost a game, you know, like, you know, if you drop a ball, you know, like you got 15 pushups or whatever. But like, we chart everything, and you know, everyone wants to have the best chart for that day and for that, you know, training segment or whatever it is. So that within itself was kind of like our game. But yeah, it's just like everyone holds himself to such a high standard, and everyone holds the group to a high standard that the competition in the room is already so high. Like everyone's pushing each other to like go out there and play as well as they possibly can. So practice is pretty, you know, pretty cool. Like, you know, obviously we have competition against the defense, which is always fun. But yeah, like within the room, like we just are, we're so goal oriented that that's kind of our game. We all want to reach our goals.
It's awesome. What's your favorite career moment so far at Iowa? And what do you look forward to this season? Like, is it, you know, running out on the field? Is it doing the, like, what's like the moment at Kinnick that you're like really excited for when the season starts again against Indiana?
Yeah. Yeah. So far, I mean, I would probably have to say, the Michigan State game, for myself, that punt return, you know, the, I mean, like even without fans in Kinnick, like it was such a crazy atmosphere. Like, you know, my first touchdown in the stadium, my first touchdown at Iowa. So for me, you know, that one's pretty special. And then, like I said earlier, like I've never played in front of a crowd this big. And you know, people are going to be eager to be back in the stadium after not being there for a whole year. So really for me, you know, now that I'm a senior, you know, I'll be in the front of that, of the line walking out. So like just walking into that atmosphere after, you know, not having fans for so long, you know, in a big game, you know, every week's a big game, but a big game like Indiana week one, for me, you know, that's really what I'm looking forward to, just being back out there, having everything be normal, and just going and doing my thing. And plus another one, you know, we do get to play at Northwestern. I know we take every game, you know, one week at a time, but, you know, kind of coming back home, you know, all my friends are graduated now. So they'll be in town. Just kind of coming back close to home and playing here, for me is something I'm really looking forward to.
That's awesome. With some of these moments, like when you guys walk out onto the field, one thing I actually have never asked one of the Iowa football players this before. Do you guys talk while you're going out there? Like when you guys are in the line about to go out, or is it not really talking, just kind of in your own heads getting amped up? Like what's going on before you guys come out onto Kinnick?
It's a really special moment. I mean, like I still haven't done it. I wasn't able to do it my first year because I was ineligible for transferring. But last year, even with no fans, like, just like everyone, it's such a amazing tradition. Like everyone kind of just, you know, and it is the beginning of the game. Everyone's kind of just like taking that whole experience in. No one's really talking. You know, we all hold hands. We're all, you know, one team running out there. So it's really cool to be a part of. You know, I mean, you kind of get goosebumps thinking about, like coming out into a big stadium this year, with it being packed. So no one's really talking. Everyone's kind of just, you know, getting ready for the game, you know, and just being a part of a great tradition that we have.
So one thing I wanted to know too, I have a few random questions as well outside of football questions, is why did you pick number 16? Because I know you were 17 at Buffalo. I heard you were 7 in high school. So like, why 16?
Yeah, well, coming into Iowa, I wanted to keep 17. You know, I didn't really necessarily want 17 at Buffalo either. I wanted to stick with my high school 7. But it wasn't available. And then, you know, I got 17. It kind of grew on me. I played in it. And then, so I wanted to keep that, but I didn't even get a pick 16. 16 was given to me. And 7, obviously Spencer has 7. So, you know, 16 wasn't something that I chose. But like 17, like, you know, I've played in it, you know, I've already made memories in it, you know. So 16 is really growing on me. And I don't think I'd switch it if I had the chance. You know, I kind of, you know, want to make 16 my own, you know, and make 16 look good out there. You know, it is a good number. But yeah, it's definitely grown on me. But yeah, it wasn't something that I chose from the beginning.
So no jersey change now that you're on scholarship? There's no chance of seeing a change before the season?
Even if I was given the opportunity, I don't think I'd change. Just because, you know, I think, you know, it's something that, you know, it's growing on me. I've already, you know, been out there. You know, I don't think I'd want to switch it on. I want to make it something, you know, that I'm proud of. You know, I worked hard to, you know, get my way onto the field. And, you know, I was on the field a little bit last year. And, you know, with that number, I'm going to stick with that number.
Out of the receiving room right now, everybody's on an island. Who is winning the show Survivor, and who's the first one voted off of the island?
In the receiver room?
Yeah.
Man, well, I'm obviously going to take myself as winning, obviously.
like that.
But I don't know. That's a good question. We actually kind of talk about this sometimes, too. I don't know. I feel like we have a couple guys, like, who would avoid, you know, confrontation and be strategic about it and, like, kind of just, like, be the last one standing without, like, ever
like
confronting
who?
Anyone. Like I could see Max. Max Cooper is my roommate. I could see Coop being a sleeper in the Survivor game and camping out and just outliving everyone. But, you know, yeah, we do talk about this all the time. Everyone thinks it's himself, obviously.
You guys ever talk about who would win Dancing with the Stars?
We have
got a couple. You got a couple dancers.
Oh, who would win that?
Yeah,
I feel like this is kind of going back to the celebration question. I feel like you guys are getting me back on that one. We got some. I mean, Tyrone's a good dancer. Nico's a good dancer. Coop's a really good dancer.
Who's the worst dancer?
Who's the worst?
Worst. Yeah.
Man, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a great dancer. That's why you will not see me doing.
Respectable pick.
Yeah, you will not see me doing TikToks in the end zone or anything like that. So yeah, you know, I could definitely use a dance lesson or two.
Fair. One thing I'm wondering is when you see on like social media and stuff, like all of the Iowa like sports like Twitter, Instagram accounts and stuff, when they like post highlights of you guys or shout you out on Barstool Iowa or something like that, like how, like, is it talked about in the locker room? Like, do you guys talk about the mentions and all that, or is it just something that gets kind of blocked out?
Like from like Hawkeye football itself, or like just from all of them?
No, from like all the random accounts and stuff that are like followed by Hawkeye fans, like the fan accounts and all that type of stuff.
Oh yeah, no. If it's not like through the Hawkeye page, like, obviously, like, if someone's posted on the Hawkeye page, you know, we'll see that. We'll be in the locker room and we'll be like, oh, that was sweet or whatever. Or, like, Tyrone was on Instagram Live, you know, that was pretty cool. But other than that, like if it's some, you know, random account posting, I feel like we're pretty good about kind of staying out of that kind of stuff, you know, good or bad, you know, whatever, yeah. whatever is being said. Just cause you know, you don't want to get into your head, like both in a positive or negative way. So I feel like we're pretty good about that. So if it's not like, you know, Hawkeye football, then I feel like guys, you know, I'm talking more about like comments,
oh, okay.
or stuff like that. Yeah. But like, yeah, if you know, obviously it's when something's posted about you or your teammates, like a highlight or something like that, that's always cool. But yeah, other than that, we try to stay out of it.
What's your favorite Iowa City restaurant? Oof. What's your go-to?
Okay, well, my go-to and my favorite are probably different. My okay. go-to is like, I'm either at Chipotle or I'm going to be at Bread Garden. Like, those are my, like, go-to. Like, if we have Black Card, like, I'm going to Chipotle or I'm going to Bread Garden. Like, but my favorite, that's even tough. God, I don't know. I like Basta. Like,
oh,
I think sitting outside with, you know, a couple of the guys at Basta is like, or Stella. I'm at Stella a lot.
So I love Basta too. I agree. But the place that gets hyped to me that I hear stories about all the time that I've been wanting to try, I still haven't gone, is Monica's. I told Monica's.
I told Tommy about Monica's.
I always hear about Monica's. I hear how great it is, how there's like a million things on the menu. It's also hyped, and I've never been still.
Where is it?
Monica's is by, like, the Walgreens, out by, like, the – what are those, softball fields?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's out there.
So, Basta Monica's over Monica's. Okay.
Well, it's, like, down – I'm talking, like, the whole vibes, you know. Okay. Yeah, but Monica's is a sleeper. I feel like not many people know about it.
What's the go-to at Monica's?
I get the bucatini broccolini. That's just me, though. So don't hate on it. It's got a funky name.
Yeah, what is it?
it's a little bit on the healthier side. But, no, I mean, their pasta is great, dude. We go there all the time. It's one of the places we have for Black Card. So we go there. But yeah, it's a sleeper. Not many people know about it. If you haven't been, you definitely gotta go.
I gotta go.
Is there any, so let's just say another hypothetical, because I love these. Is there any DB that you could lock up while you're playing DB and they're a receiver?
Oh man, you're asking the tough questions.
Only the best questions.
I don't know, man. I mean, like, I don't know. Our DBs are pretty athletic, and I have not played DB in forever. I'm not gonna single anyone out, but you know, maybe in like I don't know. I honestly.
How about you don't
know.
Say a name? How about you give a number?
No, I can't do that either.
That's even worse.
No, I don't know, bro. I haven't played DB in so long. Like, geez, I don't even want to try, to be honest.
That was something that I remember doing in high school to like keep things light during our like doubles hell week or whatever. We didn't even do doubles. It was just like a longer practice. They would, at the end of practice, to see if offense or defense would condition more, they put the offense on defense and the defense on offense and see who's like the better athlete. And they had they had me the old lineman running routes against the D lineman. It was absolutely electric. I had no idea if Iowa ever like did something like that during their summer camp just to try and keep things spiced up. But when you're not doing football training, returning punts from Torrey, whatever, what do you do to like stay loose, have fun, keep your mind off the game when it's a little too much?
Our team is, you know, we're all really close. So we tend to spend a ton of time with each other outside the facility, just kind of hanging out. You know, a lot of guys will go golfing. You know, I'm not the best golfer at all. So I don't I don't golf. But no, we'll go out to eat. My house. We watch a lot of movies. Me and Tori are making our way through. We got a list. So we sit down and we watch a lot of movies. You know,
What's the most recent movie you've seen?
We recently just watched all the Taken movies.
Which one was your favorite?
Because
I know all of them pretty well, off the top of my head.
I think I just gotta go with the first one.
Yeah. I mean, that's the easy answer. I'd agree with that though.
Yeah. But no, those are all good movies. But yeah, other than that, like, you know, we just, you know, hang out. We'll play some spike ball or something. You know, we're just, you know, regular guys, just, you know, enjoying our time that we have. But yeah, everyone's super close. So we pretty much spend a lot of time with each other outside the building.
Nice. Yeah, Jack, we could do a segment on the pod, Charlie's Movie Reviews. As he binges the movies, we could get the reviews from him.
Fuck yeah.
I would love to, bro. We've watched, like, in the beginning of the semester when school wasn't really picking up, we were watching so many movies. Then we started having to buckle down on school a little bit.
We could definitely get that going.
Yeah, I honestly have not seen a good movie in a while, and that's my own fault. I have terrible patience. Like, I just cannot get myself to sit down and watch a movie.
I've been the same.
What do you do? Like, how do you get yourself to do it? I straight up just, I really, no, for real. Like, I just,
I know you're for real.
Well, it's easy. Like, after like a long day at being at the facility, like, typically me and Tori will have either dinner or we'll make dinner. And we'll just sit down while we're eating, and watch a movie.
Right. And then, so you know, I'll just walk on and get a really long, hard day, and I'll just start doing that.
Right, and then movies. Just, you know, come on over and watch a movie.
Yeah, Charlie's basically saying, Jack, play football at Iowa. You'll get tired out after practice, and then you can watch a movie.
You'll be a huge
No, but I get it. Like, at home, like, I haven't watched a single movie or show. Like,
no.
And, like, it's just – it is kind of tough to sit there for a couple hours and just watch a movie.
What's your favorite genre of movie? Comedy, scary movie, action? And your favorite actor, your go-to that you watch any movie he's in?
Oh, Leo, bro. He's the man. I would watch any movie he's ever been in.
There's no bad Leo movie.
No bad Leo movie. But I don't know. It's pretty close between comedy and action. Depends on the mood I'm in. You know, if I don't really want to pay attention, then it's kind of like a comedy. But if, you know, if I'm there to watch a movie and I'm locked in, it's going to be probably action.
So is like Deadpool your happy medium?
That is a good one. Those are great movies.
That's a go-to. Yeah.
So I got two final questions. One of them is, I'm going to Chicago later this summer. I heard you would give a great breakfast place recommendation. I've been given two, and you're supposed to choose the place. I have heard that Sarkis is a place to go, and Walker Brothers. Which one do you
pick? Oh, dude. If I had to pick, I mean, I'm assuming you got these from Tommy.
Might have been a source.
If I had to pick between those two, I would go Walker Brothers. I think they have. Yeah. Okay. No. I don't know. I'm going to give a third one. If you should go to Upper Crust before you go to Walker Brothers or go to Sarkis. You can't go wrong between the three of them, but out of your two, I would go to Walker Brothers. It's more of like you'll probably get like pancakes or you get something like along that line. If you go to Sarkis, you're going to get like the bacon Loretta. Like, I don't even know if anyone else orders anything else there.
So there's only like one go-to at Sarkis compared.
They got like a whole menu, but like people.
You go there for that one thing.
You go there for the bacon Loretta.
What's this bacon Loretta? What even is it?
It's like a French bread, like toasted French bread with like bacon, and then they got like onions and like cheese. I honestly don't even know the rest that's in there. Yeah. I get the ham Loretta, so it is a little bit different when I order that, but. I haven't been to Sarkis in a while, actually. That does sound good.
My final question for you, and we ask all of our Iowa athletes this question, is what does being a Hawkeye mean to you through your career so far and onward?
That's a great question. It's such a, like, dude, it's such an honor to be a Hawkeye, like, for real. Like, there's such a support, like, throughout all of Iowa City. Like, you know, people really, like, take their Iowa football seriously. And it's just such a great community. You know, and there's such a tradition, and, like, you know, our coaches have been there, you know, forever. And you don't really get to see that a lot in college football or really anywhere. And we take pride in being a family. And I think that's, like, the biggest thing, like, you know, family, like, and tradition, like, guys, you know, passing on the jersey, leaving the jersey in a better place than they found it. You know, and people really take it seriously. Like, you go out and, like, people, like, know who you are. Like, it's crazy. It's something that's really, really cool and really special to be a part of. And I'm excited to finally have everyone back, in Kinnick, and, you know, it's going to be a great year, and I'm just really excited to be able to be out there and be in that uniform and, you know, be a part of such a great program.
All right, so final question. Go to Chicago pizza place.
That's tough, because I feel like I should say Lou Malnati's, because that's, like, what everyone wants, but I kind of like Barnaby's. Like,
yes, Barnaby's. I was hoping he'd say that.
Yeah, like, okay, Lou Malnati's is good, but I don't really like deep dish. So, like, if I'm eating a pizza, like, which, you know, I don't really have anymore, but, you know, I'm going to Barnaby's for that thin crust. Oh,
nothing better than Barnaby's.
All right, I'm gonna have to try Barnaby's. I've never had it, so.
Oh, dude, it's the best.
All right, well then, we'll close it up right here. Charlie, thank you so much for coming on and talking. I'm sure a lot of Hawkeye Nation is going to appreciate hearing a lot about you, your journey, and all of that. So, like always, guys, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.